I suppose that everyone here tonight who professes to be a Christian has been asked at one time or other in your lifetime, how long have you been a Christian? Has anyone ever asked you that? How long have you been a Christian? Well, I don't think that is nearly so important as the question that I'm asking you tonight in the title of this message. I ask you not, how long have you been a Christian? I ask you tonight, how long will you be a Christian? How long have you been a Christian will have nothing to do with whether you enter God's kingdom or not. How long you have been a Christian will have absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you are saved. Judas Iscariot walked with Christ 3.5 years, and he entered not into the kingdom of God. The thief on the cross was a believer for only a few hours, and yet he entered paradise with Jesus Christ our Lord. So how long you have been a Christian, and some of you may boast tonight of 30 years of profession, or 25 or 20 years, how long you have been a Christian will not enable you to enter the kingdom of God. But how long you continue in the faith, how long you continue to walk with Christ, how long you continue to rest in the Son of God has everything to do with whether or not you enter heaven's glory. Let me show you that from the Word of God. First of all, from 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, Paul the Apostle came to the end of life's journey. And he had just said, the time of my departure is at hand. In verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I have kept the faith. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verse 38 and 39. Now, all of you are familiar with the scripture which says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe, or keep on believing, to the saving of the soul. Now turn to 1 John. In the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 19, the Apostle John writes about those people who believed for a while, who were church members for a while, who were faithful for a while, and then departed from the faith. And he says of them in 1 John 2, verse 19, they went out from us, they left us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, if they had been really born again, if they had been children of God, if they had been truly believers, if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now our text tonight in Hebrews 3. What I'm saying is this, how long you have been a Christian will not make you a Christian. How long you have been a Christian will not enable you to enter the kingdom of God. How long you have been a Christian will have absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you enter heaven. But how long you continue in the faith, how long you continue in Christ, will have everything to do with whether or not you are saved. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, the Scripture says, Christ, as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The Amplified Version gives that scripture this way, and I think it's a little easier to understand. We are made partakers of Christ, and we share in all that He has for us only if we hold our first newborn confidence and original expectation firm to our death. Faith in the beginning, faith at the close, faith all the way. That's the important and the one important matter. And as I read in Hebrews 3, Israel, though they left Egypt, Israel, though they made an effort, and for a number of years they moved in the direction of the promised land, yet did not enter that land. And the Scripture says they were shut out because of unbelief. You say, but they believed when they left Egypt. Maybe they did. I don't know. But they believed when they stopped at the mountain. Maybe they did. But they believed when they ate the manna and drank of the rock. Maybe they did. But they didn't believe when they stood outside Canaan and they stayed outside Canaan. And they perished in the wilderness. We are made partakers of Christ and share in all that He has for us only if we hold our first newborn confidence and original expectation firm to our death. I have no hope for a man who starts out in the Christian journey and does not continue. I have no hope for a man or a woman or a young person who makes a good start and runs a good race if they do not come to the finish line, having grown in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and holding fast that original faith with which they began. And that's what this Bible is declaring in Hebrews 3, 6, and 14. No hope. No hope. I have three important parts tonight to this message. Number one, a great privilege. A great privilege. Or what is it to be a Christian? Number two, a great question. And thirdly, a great test. Now let's take them one at a time. First of all, our great privilege. Look at verse 14 again. For we are made partakers of Christ. What is very significant there to you? When you're talking about what it is to be saved, what it is to be a Christian, what it is to truly be born again. I think the key word is a two-letter word. It does not say we're made partakers with Christ. That would be true. That would be a very precious truth also. For we are partakers with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. All things are His and all things are ours with Him. The Scripture tells us that. We're with Him in the Father's favor. We're with Him in eternal glory. We're with Him in the heavenly places. But that's not what it says. We are partakers. It doesn't say with Christ. And it does not say we're partakers of rich blessings by Christ, though that's certainly true. We are partakers of rich spiritual benefits. We have pardoning mercy. We have, through Christ, redeeming grace. We have, because of Christ, adoption into the family of God. We have, because of Christ, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. But the text says we are made partakers of Christ. And that's the key. We are made partakers of Christ, of Himself. As I said this morning, Christianity is not a philosophy, it's a person. It's not just a way of life, it's a person. It's not just a destination, it's a person. And those who are redeemed are made partakers of a person. We are one with Christ, and this union with Christ is an intimate, personal, vital, living union. We are partakers, actually, of Himself. Now, this is set forth in the Bible in several ways. And if you miss this, you've missed the gospel. If you miss this, you've missed salvation. You've missed the very essence of life. Christ is our life. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. Not a doctrine, but a person. Not a principle, a person. Not a direction, a person. Not a morality, a person. Not a law, a person. Till Christ be formed in you. Christ, in all of His love and grace and mercy and truth and beauty and compassion and humility, Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. And if Christ is not in you, you have no hope of glory. You may believe He died on the cross. The devil believes and trembles. You may believe that He was buried and rose again. The devil believes and trembles. You may believe that He's coming again. The devil knows He's coming again. For the demon said, art thou come to torment us before our time? But when you're saved, you're made a partaker of Christ, of Himself. The Bible says He's the foundation stone on which we're built, cemented to Him, resting upon Him, joined to Him, one as a spiritual house for the habitation of God. He is the cornerstone, and we are the living stone built on Him. We're part of Him as the stone, the foundation is part of the building. Then the Bible says He is the vine, and we are the branches. The branches have no sap. The branches have no life. The branches have no strength of their own. They draw everything from the vine, and without the vine, they're nothing. Dead, they're lifeless. All of our grace is in and through and by and because of Him. Is the branch part of the vine? It certainly is, and that's the only reason it's living. And if it's not part of the vine, it's fit for the burning. And then the Scripture says He's the head and we're the body. It's a great mystery. But we're partakers of Christ just as much as the body is a partaker of the head. We're one with Christ in everlasting covenant mercies. We're one with Christ on earth in flesh and bones and obedience. We're one with Christ on the cross in sacrifice. We're one with Christ in glory at the right hand of the Father. We're one with Christ coming again. Christ and the believer is one. We're made partakers of Christ Himself. That's what it is to be saved. That's what it is to be redeemed. That's what it is to be a Christian. It's not believing doctrines. It's not making a decision. We're made partakers of a living person who controls, who dominates, who is sovereign, and who reigns where He sits. And this is the work of God's Spirit. Notice another key word here in this statement, verse 14, Hebrews 3. We are made partakers of Christ. I didn't make myself a partaker of Christ. My mother and father didn't make me a partaker of Christ. My preacher didn't persuade me to become a partaker of Christ. This is the work of God's Spirit. This is the work of God's grace. This is the work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who Himself made us partakers of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, here's a key verse. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Not just of Him, but in Him. Not just aware of Him, in Him. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. You are partakers of Jesus Christ. That's the great privilege. Now notice the second thing, the great question. Am I a partaker of Christ? What is my religion? What is my hope? What is my profession? I've reformed my life. I live better than the average man or woman. What is my religion? I was brought up in the church when I was young. My mother and father took me to church. When I reached a certain age, I felt that I ought to unite with the church, so I made a profession of faith and joined. What is my religion? What is my Christianity? What is my profession? Well, I walked down the aisle and took the preacher by the hand and told him I believed the doctrines and I was baptized. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven when I die. I didn't want to perish under the wrath of God. I didn't want to come to the judgment. I wanted to be a part of heaven's glory. What is my religion? What is my profession? All men are not partakers of Christ. You can be a partaker of religion and never partake of Christ. All church members are not partakers of Christ. All ministers are not partakers of Christ. It is one thing to hear about and know about a banquet. It's another thing to be fed at the table. It's one thing to know of streams in the desert and believe in streams in the desert and talk about streams in the desert and confess to believing there's streams in the desert. It's another thing to come as a thirsty, hungry, sinful soul and drink of that stream. It's one thing for a prisoner to close his eyes in the depths of a dark, damp dungeon and dream of liberty and talk of liberty. It's another thing for him to walk the hills of home. That's another thing. Am I a partaker of Christ? Am I just a believer in religion? Am I just a believer in miracles? Am I just a believer in heaven and hell? Am I just a searcher? Or am I a partaker? Does Christ live in me? Does He reign on the throne of my heart? Is His very person living in my soul and in my mind? Does Christ live in me? That's the question. And it's a question that we'd better hurry up and answer. We are made partakers of Christ. Of Christ. Christ is my sacrifice. His blood maketh atonement for my sin. Outside of Christ, there's no sacrifice. Christ is my righteousness. His obedience satisfies God's fearful law. Out of Christ, I'm filthy rag. Christ is my mediator. Only one mediator between God and men. Out of Christ, I stand alone, condemned by God, under eternal wrath. I know all those things. I believe all these things. But does Christ live in me? Is He my life? Is He my lover? Is He my friend? Is He my brother? Is he my thought? Is he my hope? Is he my breath? Is he my blood? Is he my strength? Does Christ live in me? That's the question. Am I a partaker of him? We are made partakers of Christ. We are made partakers of Christ. You can go to hell from the church pew. You can go to hell from a church pulpit. You can go to hell from a church baptismal pool. And you can go to hell from the table of the law. But the only way a man who is a partaker of Christ can go to hell is for Christ to go to hell. He's a partaker of Christ. All right, let's look at this great test now, the last thing. For we are made partakers of Christ only if we hold the beginning of our confidence. The beginning of our confidence. That's such a key right there. The beginning of our confidence. Steadfast to the death. That man is a Christian, is a partaker of Christ, who holds fast that faith and that confidence which he had in Christ when he first believed. How did you come to Christ? What was the beginning of your confidence in Christ? Well, I am a sinner. Christ is the only Savior. I am a needy, naked, broken sinner. I rest entirely on Him. When we began the journey of faith, we were nothing at all. When we began the journey of faith, Jesus Christ was all and in all. And we are not partakers of Christ unless we hold fast that beginning. Unless we can say right now, the same thing that was true of me at the beginning is true of me right now. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Christ was all then, Christ is all now. I was nothing then, I'm nothing now. Christ is my hope then, He's my hope now. Let's see how Paul started out. Philippians chapter 3, in verse 7. He says, what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Philippians 3:8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. That's how Paul started, and that's how Paul wound it up. He held fast that same confidence, that same attitude, that same dependence, that same personal emptiness, that same longing. Oh, that I may know Him. Him. In the beginning of our confidence, we didn't rely on ceremony. We didn't rely on works. We didn't rely on prayers. We relied on Christ. He was strong enough. He was sufficient enough. We relied on Him. It was Jesus only in those days of beginning. How is it today? Did you begin in the Spirit and you're made perfect by the flesh? In the beginning of our confidence, we love Christ. His name was the theme of our song. There's none other name given among men. There's none can with Him compare. All others are marred by sin, they're scarred. He's fairer than all the fair. On a cross lifted high, went my Lord forth to die, and the arm of God was revealed. In sorrow forlorn, my grief He hath borne, and with His stripes I am healed. This Lamb that was slain has risen again, and His triumph we all shall see. Once dying in shame, soon He's coming again. This Savior, my King, is He. Jesus, the Lamb of God, has died, opening the door to heaven wide. All who believe are justified freely from every stain. That's the beginning. And brethren, we're partakers of Christ only if we hold that same confidence steadfast to the day of our death. Now let me ask you two or three questions, myself and you. When we were first converted to Christ, if the Lord had said, I've taken you into my house, I'll make you a lowly servant, I'll make you a mat for the saints to wipe their feet upon, what would you have said in that early day? What would be the beginning of your confidence? Well, you would have said, so be it, Lord. So be it. I'll be a mat. Let the saints wipe their feet upon me. Only God let me be a servant. And let me eat the crumbs that fall from the table. We're partakers of Christ only if we hold fast that same confidence to the end. If we're partakers of Christ, we'll continue in that same meek and lowly spirit. When we first came to Christ, listen to me. Oh, how we hungered for a few words of exhortation from His book. Oh, how we thirsted for just a word from His lips. The sermon may be a little rusty, but we found something good in it. The sermon may be a little unpolished, but if it was full of Christ, that's enough for us. We heard about our Lord. Well, the starving beggar has become a food taster and even a food refuser. Once they were satisfied with crumbs, and now they loathe the light bread. We're partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. A man who's a partaker of Christ is still hungry, and he's still thirsty, and he'll still walk a mile to hear somebody talk about his Lord. When we first came to Christ, we were so careful to guard our testimony. We wanted to be a witness to those at home and those at work. We watched our language. We watched our conduct. We watched our attitude, lest we give offense. How is it now? If we're partakers of Christ, we'll still hold fast that same watchfulness, that same concern, that same desire to bear somebody else's burden and see somebody else come to the knowledge of our Lord. When we first came to Christ, when we first opened the door of blessing, when God first embraced us in His arms of eternal love, when first the sweet Spirit of the living God filled our hearts, when first the Lord Jesus Christ came into our souls, everything was well between us and all men. There was flooding our soul a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of grace, and a spirit of mercy. We were generous with our love and our words of encouragement. We were willing to overlook the afflictions of others and even bear their burdens and even make excuse for their infirmities, realizing our own and remembering the pit from which we were dug. How is it now? How is it now? We've become critics. We've become holier than thou. We've become self-righteous. We've become murmurers and complainers. No, not if we're partakers of Christ. For we are made partakers of Christ only if we hold fast the beginning, the first sweet days of sweetheart love. the first sweet days of grace that flooded our soul. We're partakers of Christ only if He's just as sweet or sweeter. If He's just as necessary or more necessary. If He's just as precious or more precious than He was in those early days when we sang, "Just as I am," without one plea. Just like I am. Without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. That's 40 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 20, or 10, or 5 years ago. But Lord, it's all the same. Just like I am today, without one plea. But that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. And when God sends His messenger to take me home, and I'm lying there in old age upon that bed, and my eyesight's dim, and my body's weak, and the breath comes with more difficulty, I lift my eyes to heaven's glories, and I say, "Just as I am, without one plea. But that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. Again, O Lamb of God, I come." We are made partakers of Christ only if we hold fast and continue with the beginning of our confidence unto the day of our death. Brethren, that's true. And I don't care what men preach or what they say or how they argue, that's true. No unbeliever will ever enter the kingdom of God. I don't care how far he is away from Egypt, how long it took him to get there. If he cannot enter into the kingdom of God in body and soul with undying faith in Jesus Christ, he cannot enter because of unbelief. That's the only reason. He that believeth not on the Son hath not life. Hath not life. Our Father in heaven, the revelation to our hearts of our sins was by Thy power, by Thy Spirit, and by Thy grace. When our eyes were opened to behold Christ as the only Savior hanging on that cross, bearing our guilt and our shame, it was by Thy Spirit and by Thy grace. And when repentance toward Thee and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was given to our hearts, and we received Him and believed on Him and rested in Him, it was by Thy grace and by Thy Spirit. And our perseverance and the days that are ahead of us, Lord, if You don't keep us, we'll fall. If You don't give us faith and increase our faith, we'll depart from the faith. Leave us not to ourselves. All things are a gift of Thy love. We want to come to the end of life's journey a partaker of Himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Give us the glorious, wonderful gift of perseverance in the faith that we might share eternal glory with our Beloved. In His name we pray. Amen.